Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Actually podcast for November 21st. We are going to be talking about this week's comics. As always, I'm Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And here we go.
Yeah.
Real nice and quick. I'm just going to start with what's right at the top of the stack.
The most unredeemable comic ever produced.
Yeah, this one's weird. I feel like this is... There's got to be some point to it.
I think that this is a deceptive single issue, kind of like you're not going to get the full story in one issue.
Yeah, Tsukiban Turbo is what we're referring to from IDW Publishing.
Yeah, by Sylvain Runberg and Victor Santos, and the art is awesome in this comic. But it is about a apparently completely irredeemable female street gang from New York who hurt people really bad and do nothing redeemable in the comic. So, interesting.
So, an interesting choice for protagonists.
Yeah, you're always looking for like that thing that makes them like, okay, where's the good in this? And it's like the only good person gets beaten to death with a golf club.
With a golf club.
So it's like, okay, I thought this was maybe the person, but then just nope, two panels later,
I have no idea, and I'm not even sure if this is actually the story.
No, I think this is...
Like, I think literally they're watching the DVD, maybe even, because they stole the DVD that said Tsukiban Turbo on it at the beginning.
Wait, is it an adaptation of something?
I have no idea. I mean, I think it's the, like... What it's reminding me of is the... there's a series of Japanese movies. I'm going to get the name wrong. It's called, like, the Pink Lady movies or the Pink something... Pinky Violence.
Oh.
Pinky Violence movies. And they're, like, crazy girl gang stories. But... Yeah, I have a feeling that it's kind of based on that loosely.
Unfortunately, I am wearing not my reading glasses, so I am literally unable to read the indicia to see if this is like creator owned or something like that, or if it's an adaptation of something. But either way, I think this is it's an intriguing. It definitely was like the book where I was. There was a couple books that hit on a level of like, whoa, this is an interesting, you know, definitely. It's like maybe it's like when the trade is there, you'll get like a bigger piece and you don't really get a sense of like where it's going. But
that is kind of the problem with this book is the fact that it's really good.
Yeah, it's good. It's, the art is amazing.
It's great. The story is really well told, all these things. But again, the characters are irredeemable.
Yeah, no,
so far they are just garbage humans. Nope. And just like, I don't know how you're going to turn this around into something that people are going to like. But, it also might just be one of those things that it's done up like one of those cult movies like Switchblade Sisters or something where you're not really supposed to give a crap about anybody.
Or it could be that there's like some kind of unrevealed arc. I mean, the crime starts with like ripping off the video store and then like just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
And that's, yeah.
But it was, I'm interested very much to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Tsukiban Turbo.
So we
from
have
IDW.
We have two books out this week in the Drowned Earth tie-in. Yeah. We've got Justice League and Aquaman this week. Both were, I'm going to say, mediocre.
Seconded.
I think would be where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
The writing is okay. It just feels like they're trying to get to a point, and I, honestly, it feels like they're killing time.
Yeah.
To be quite frank.
Yeah.
My hope, I hate to say this, but it feels like they have these crazy glowing tattoos that they're giving to Aquaman.
Yeah.
And my real hope is that those are going to get burned onto his skin at some point, and he's going to look just like Jason Momoa.
I actually wonder if, because I think the what's been teased about the upcoming Aquaman direction is that he's kind of like... Like, doesn't, I don't know if it's like an amnesia thing or whatever, but it's like this kind of new take, and maybe this is just how they're getting him to this new take. I'm not really sure, but where the Witching Hour crossover in Justice League Dark felt like, okay, here's, we need to waste a month, but they came up with this really cool story that was really awesome. This feels like we need to waste a month, and it's just kind of like, eh, there's some good ideas in it.
And
but
Justice League has like 40 different artists. Is it Justice League or was it Aquaman?
I'm not sure.
One of the two of them was just, oh yeah, This has like six artists on
it. Oh,
yeah,
that's
crazy.
The one that had the Fraser Irving art, who he's awesome. But
yeah, but like it's like two pages of it.
Bits of it that are awesome, and that's kind of just been the Justice League thing since Snyder took over. Like,
yeah.
Bits of it are awesome, and like the overall is just kind of like, eh. I would say some nice things about Tom King and Michael Janin, Batman number whatever. I thought when Tom King hits, like he hits, and the thing that he does with Bane in this issue is super cool. Totally unexpected, totally different, and just really smart. Basically, Batman is realizing that Bane is kind of like, or he thinks he's realizing that Bane is pulling the strings behind all of the terrible, depressing, horrible things that are happening in his comic book series that he doesn't know is a comic book series. And so he confronts Bane, but the result of that is sort of catastrophic and very intelligent. I think it's just a really smart storytelling choice, and when you have characters like Bane and they are supposed to be just like devious master criminals, and they kind of just like every month they just, or whatever, whenever they show up, they just like punch people or do something dumb that you can see through in a million years, you kind of like are like whatever. So when, you know, it's good to see real I don't want to say too much about what happens because it is, it's, I think,
no,
you should,
it's very,
I think,
smart.
I think you should read it.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love the idea, and I also love the best kind of Batman stories tend to be the ones where you see him going over the edge and then you don't know that he's not over the edge because of some sort of storytelling device. And I like that. I like that in this. It definitely is something where there's a device going on that's kind of, you're not realizing that he's probably okay. He's probably not mental.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like Bane being like, you know, is he smart? Is he crazy? What is he? What's he doing?
Has he lost his mind and become completely infantilized?
Yeah. And also has Batman completely lost his marbles? What are we talking about next?
Let's talk about this.
I thought that Betty Page. So
this
Betty
is
Page
nuts.
Number one?
Is that
just Betty Page number one?
Yeah, from Dynamite. From There's a new Betty Page comic, and it's good.
Yeah, it's cool. It's got it has a couple big weird left turns that are just kind of like, especially like the end cliffhanger.
Also,
not what I expected in a Betty Page
comic.
Right
at the beginning, there is a total copyright infringing Marlboro from Final Fantasy, but other than that, pretty cool.
I'm not sure what that means, but I thought... that overall, so Dynamite has been putting out some comics that I'm used to Dynamite just being kind of middle of the road, you know, like maybe good ideas, poor execution, or mediocre execution. And I'm sorry to denigrate anyone who's ever worked for Dynamite.
This is true. I mean, there's no way around it. Dynamite at their best back in the day was literally like they would release something and they'd give Garth Ennis like five issues, like that Shadow series where they were like, all right, we'll give you five issues. We'll give you a good artist. And then after that, we're giving it to, you know, to Chuck's little boy. And he'll take over from now. And it's just like,
this is my cousin, Johnny. He's got a good story to tell about, what is it again? Shadow. Yeah, Shadow. But this is, so lately, and I'm talking like last couple months, and there's been some quality stuff, surprising quality. Yeah. And I think this Betty Page qualifies as, it surprised me.
And it's very weird. If you've been digging the Elvira comic, this is more of the same. And especially content-wise, because it's like, it's B-movie, like, 50s stuff with, like, monsters and aliens, and it's actually really fun.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Can we talk about this one?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, so Hulk is out, Immortal Hulk, number 9. The copy I grabbed has a weird Arthur Adams X-Men cover, but that's a variant. The regular cover has the Absorbing Man, and the entire issue is setting up a new status quo for the Absorbing Man. And, man, there's a Hulk mouse. I'm just going to say there's a Hulk mouse in it. And also, it's amazing.
Don't look for too many extra issues with Hulk Mouse. I don't think he's coming back.
No, I think Hulk Mouse, is, like we said in the preface before we began to record, his candle burned out. He burned brightly and quickly.
Yes.
But anyway, Hulk is continuing to be like a super great like horror take on the Hulk, and great. It's great.
Every issue I'm surprised by the craziness that goes on in it.
Yep.
And the craziness, like, it generally has ending pages that I actually go, wow, I was not expecting that to happen.
Yeah, this one was
every single
particularly
time.
Particularly just like, what? But
and that's after the last one where they had Hulk cut up into like 70 little jars.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a there is a somewhat of an evisceration theme going on in the Hulk in general over the course of many issues, but it's good. It's good. This new issue is also good. I like
Here,
it.
Here, I didn't really read this, so I'm going to give that to you.
Okay. So, Ghost Infinity Warps Ghost Panther, number one. This is a mashup of Ghost Rider and Black Panther. Basically, if you know these characters, just take the parts of their origins that you know and smush them into one, and it's a... He doesn't actually ride a panther like he does on the cover in the comic, which is a little disappointing. The artist, who was the artist? Hefte Palo.
Very cool.
Kind of a Mignola. The design of the character is really cool. Unfortunately, these Infinity Warps most of the time are basically just like, let's combine two. What is that called when you combine two words? We know this, right? It's called something. There's a literary term for it, but it's basically just like the comic book mashup version of
portmanteau.
Portmanteau. Yeah, yeah. They're just portmanteaus.
For some reason, I couldn't figure out what you were talking about.
So like little Hulk or whatever.
Yes, giant or whatever.
Jolly, whatever. It doesn't matter. Ghost Panther, if you're into the Infinity Warps, it's one of the better ones, especially from an art standpoint. But in general, it was nothing special to me.
Yeah.
Other than just, oh, that's neat. Kind of a that's neat.
All right.
We'll give that one that's neat on the
one
that's neat scale. Let's talk about GoBots.
Okay, you know what? Before you do so, since we're here, before we lose everybody by the end of this, let's make sure we tell everybody that we are starting up a new Instagram account.
Oh, shoot.
To promote everything. It's going to be I'm Actually Comics on Instagram. And
that's
we're gonna,
cool that we got that.
Yeah.
How did no
cool.
one have that?
And we're going to use that to, well, I've taken pictures of every single book we have out this week, so we'll put that in an Instagram story so that you can see what's actually out. We'll do, you know, panels and things like that and talk about artists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty much topical. So everything that comes out that week, that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and not a lot of throwbacks.
Yeah. But if you follow the Instagram, we're gonna do multiple posts, you know, and just kind of we're working on building some kind of a social media presence for the podcast. And so the ask is, you know, if you're listening to the podcast and enjoying it, help us out and get us, you know,
You
know, we'll do the work, but you know, you give us the likes and we'll. Just build the we're building the brand, man. And then so Tristan did the story, and I've done some just some of the more interesting panels. I thought that was kind of there were certain things that maybe we wouldn't talk about in the podcast, but that are kind of fun little bits.
And if you're not reading Hulk, you will get a really nice picture of Hulk Mouse.
There is a nice picture of Hulk Mouse. Also, I'm pretty proud of my panel choices, so you'll see them unfold throughout the week. That's Actually Comics on Instagram, and at some point we will probably branch out to Twittering and things of that nature. But
though Twitter is a giant sewer,
yeah, it is. I mean, I quit Facebook, so
I know. I feel like Instagram is the last bastion of any sanity on the internet.
Well, I suppose, and it's owned by Facebook, so it's not like a thing, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't, I just don't, I'm not into the comments. I don't like comments. Exactly. I didn't quit Facebook. I quit commenting on the internet.
That's a good that's a good plan. anyway, speaking of commenting on the internet, yes. Here's a segue. How about Harley Quinn this week?
It actually really is a segue.
I know.
She's literally holding a selfie stick and talking about the internet on the cover.
She's literally surfing a wave of likes.
Yeah, she is. And why did I put this in here? Because it's a new issue of Harley Quinn, and because Major Disaster is in it, and I love Major Disaster. So Major Disaster, it turns out, has a daughter who is trying to establish herself as a trying to establish herself as a minor disaster, as a new supervillain. And the story is really stupid, but I liked the fact that Major Disaster was in it and yelling about Guy Gardner the whole time, who does not show up in the comic. Harley Quinn from Sam Humphries and whoever drew it.
I still think that Sam Humphries is doing a much better job with Harley Quinn than it has been done for a while.
Yep.
I'm digging this take.
Yeah, it's cool. It is what it is. But I want to talk about GoBots.
Okay. Yeah, you do.
Okay, so Tom Scioli has done a new GoBots. He previously, I think the last thing I remember was Transformers versus G.I. Joe, so a natural transition to the GoBots. And it's exactly, if you're familiar with Tom Scioli and his, and I apologize if I'm saying his name wrong, but his kind of like modern day Kirby-esque, over the top kind of shenanigans.
And also just drawing toys. I mean,
Other and just like a billion panels. Like there's like, if you could, I think one of these does actually have a billion panels on it. But it's cool and I like it. There's what's the GoBot that this guy, I can't remember his name, but this is
dude. I got no clue. Yeah. I am not.
I actually had, I didn't, I had one Transformer, but I had like 50 GoBots. I was really into GoBots. And anyway,
because GoBots were cheap, so they were kind of better.
And for whatever reason, they were more accessible to me. But anyway, there's a new GoBots number one from IDW and Tom Scioli, and I thought it was fun. If you like nostalgia and people irreverent takes on nostalgia,
and it is very irreverent. It's like
it's not like a like let's make the GoBots radical, you know. It's just GoBots, you know. But I mean that's really shitty. I don't mean it like that. It's artistically it's really cool. I love Tom Scioli. This is a buy on site for me just because of the fact that he made it and it came out. So
yeah,
I like it.
It's great. Okay, so real quick, Tony Stark Iron Man.
Man, I did not. I tried. There was I did take a picture of one of the panels that I loved in. but the Tony Stark Iron Man, I didn't follow it. I tried. I didn't try that hard.
Nah, me either. I was having a hard time with it. I was on board for a minute.
Yep.
I liked the last issue with the brainless cows and the murder and all that crazy stuff. That was cool.
I missed that.
They were developing a race of cattle that didn't feel pain and all these other things, but they were connected to the internet. So they were wirelessly connected. So when they killed any one of them, the rest of them felt it and they went insane and started trampling everything.
Okay, that makes me want to go back and read the previous issue of Iron Man. Fuck. I missed it.
But what's the most important about this current issue is the fact that Jocasta gets suspenders in this one.
Yeah, she actually has, you know, it's funny. So now that I'm kind of like, I have a new job and I'm in this kind of business world and you see kind of like fashionable like business people, and Jocasta's business wardrobe is very fashion forward, and it's cool. I like it. That's the panel. Spoiler, that's the panel I shot for the Instagram. The suspenders. I
want to talk about this because I don't understand it.
This is like Space Pagliacci's. I didn't understand it at all.
Big pile of space mimes.
It is literally, I mean, they look like mimes. They do talk, so they're not actual mimes, but they are space, and they do look like Pagliacci.
We are talking about Dark Horse Comics Light Step number one of five.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where I'm just like, okay, what's this? This is a thing.
This is like, it's like hyper high concept sci-fi. Like just so much backstory that we don't have.
Yeah, is
when
European?
You start out. It, my guess is that this is a European comic that got translated into English and they just picked it up.
Yep,
because it's a
that's
it's
an like.
EI Pix comics.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a sub.
Yepix.
Yepix. It felt like a Titan Books or like a 2000 AD or yeah, you know, but not like humanoids kind of.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a humanoids book. Like yeah, if you picked it up in the middle.
Yeah, if you like European style space operatic. People who look like mimes. This Lightstep comic is the one you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Low these many years.
So Lucifer number 2 is out.
This is your
this is my book.
I do like the art in it though. Great
good
art.
God, the art is so fucking cool.
That's
in this book.
That's the Fumaras, right?
Fumaras. Yes, yeah, Sebastian and Max.
Yeah, they good.
Yes, they is in fact. Man, I love this book. I love it, love it, love it.
Cool.
Not much that needs to be said about it. It's all heavy continuity stuff, but if you dig the Sandman universe and you dig the character of Lucifer, you're going to love this book.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, good God, read it. It's so fucking awesome.
Nice.
That's all.
Yeah, it looked cool, and I love those the art. Speaking of art I love, I'm actually going to double up on two books because they're double up. So Rich Tomasso, an artist I love, has done two comics that came out in 1 week. One is Dick Tracy, written by the Alreds. Both Lee and Michael Alred. And so then penciled by Rich Tomasso. And it is a Dick Tracy comic. It is unabashedly just a Dick Tracy comic. It's cool. I like it. And then even more liked by me is another Rich Tomasso joint, Black Hammer Age of Doom number 7.
Yeah.
This is a spotlight issue on Colonel Weird, and it is weird. The book is just that thing that Jeff Lemire, is just throwing these like superhero kind of archetypes into this just huge bubbling, boiling pot of pop culture comic book madness. And I love it. And the news that I read this week is that Black Hammer has been optioned for film and television. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's actually really exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get all those back issues and start putting them together to sell on the internet because people will want them.
Man, and you should come in and get the trades because it's really fun to read.
Yeah, no, it's Black Hammer is. I don't know if I hate to say like it's my favorite thing because as soon as I say something is my favorite thing, I think of something else that I like similarly. But Black Hammer is as good of a superhero adventure comic that you will find.
Yeah.
And I have no problem saying that. I don't think it's exaggerating. It is so good. If you haven't taken a chance, do it. It's coming soon to film and television near you. But that's not the reason why. The reason why is because they're just great comics and just so good. If you have an appreciation for comics history, they're good on that level. But just in terms of just flat out like month to month, good storytelling, good art, always, always good.
Awesome. I'd like to talk about a book that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Middle West. This is a new thing that's out this week from
number
Scotty
one.
Young. Number one from Scotty Young and Jorge Corona. Man, this is an interesting thing.
That's cool.
It could easily go any which way, but if you were a fan of Scotty Young's Oz books, this is like an adult adaptation of one of his Oz books taken to, I don't know, like the vertigoist or the most image you could go with something like that. It's an interesting take. It seems to be we're talking about supernatural forces in the Midwest of America. Maybe it's a retelling of The Wizard of Oz. It's hard to tell.
Okay, so I don't think it's a retelling of The Wizard of Oz, but I think it is definitely kind of like informed by The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
So there's a little text piece in the back where he talks about how, and it's like one of those things like Hellboy, where it's like he drew something and then that drawing kind of became an overall series. And the art is really good. Jorge Corona, I like a lot.
Crap.
It's got a very Scotty Young feel, but not...
It is an adult Scotty Young.
But what he's saying in the what Scotty Young is saying in the and I think actually I think Scotty Young is really starting to develop as a writer.
I agree.
I think his like the last issue of Deadpool he did, I thought was one of the best issues of Deadpool that I've read.
I still think that his Oz books are phenomenal.
Oh yeah, no, the Oz books are great. Did he write those too?
Actually, I don't know if he did. Maybe he didn't.
I thought he was the. I'm not sure on that anymore.
I mean, either way, they're an adaptation of the Alfred.
And I think they are the definitely. Oh right, yeah, of course. But I think they are the best Oz adaptations that I've seen.
Oh,
I loved those. But this is like he basically wants to do like a young character protagonist that's on a quest. So it's got that Dorothy and the Land of Oz kind of storytelling mode, whatever you want to. I don't know. I'm no literary critic. But it's set in a possible fantasy kind of allegory kind of world, but also more realistic, and it definitely is like Midwestern, obviously, with the title. And it was definitely interesting and puzzling. And again, just like the one we were talking about before, for completely different reasons, I think it's just like imagining the first chapter of an arc and just kind of the potential for where it could go. And I think there's a lot of potential.
And just for safety's sake, Eric Schanauer was the writer of the Oz books.
Yeah, and he actually did he's an artist as well, and I think he did another Oz adaptations as well. Right. So, I should have known that.
Super good. This is a weird one. Night Moves.
Yeah,
you got me.
Yeah, it felt like an adaptation of a film or something, but it wasn't. I'm not sure. It's a genre.
It's
thing.
So this is this is a crime horror book.
Big week for IDW.
It was, yeah. Night Moves. This will be a movie. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
I don't know that the comic is terribly.
A lot of the IDW stuff.
It was interesting.
It feels like
it's
something
a pitch
that was written for film that did get picked up,
and that's
so they made a comic.
But that's what it is. They're all pitches. They're all just they're just IP farming for all this stuff.
But I didn't really feel the hook on Night Moves. I thought, obviously I picked it up and flipped through it, but it felt very just much like a crime story. That if you're looking for a new crime comic, it looks like the art's good. It's
but not. there's lots of like satanic stuff going on, and there's a possession angle. There's some other interesting demonic crap going on in there too.
It's like one of those things where it's like there's nothing bad to say about it,
right,
but there's also nothing that really hooked me in it.
I
as
agree.
Well.
Agreed. Marvel Knights number two.
We're
continuing to try to figure out why everybody's lost their memory. Frank Castle has sort of awakened, and he's going after Elektra to try to get her to remember who she is, and she kicks the ever-living crap out of him.
Yeah, she
does. And that's
pretty much
the story.
She sticks him with a knife at one point, too. It's a little, pretty brutal. Yeah, it was good, though. Donny Cates.
Yep.
If you like Donny Cates, everybody likes Donny Cates. I like him. He's good. West Coast Avengers number four, Kelly Thompson, Stefano Caselli. I really like this series. I think it's great. This is kind of tying up that first arc of the giant Brodok and the giant people. I think it's just fun. It's just fun. And it's nice. It's refreshing. It's really embracing the West Coast piece of the West Coast Avengers in a way that I feel like previous series didn't really nail as much as they may have addressed. It's also kind of a spiritual successor to the Hawkeye series. In a way where you're following both those characters still, and it has that. It's cool. The art's great. The story's fun. I like it. I dig it.
New World number five is out.
Yeah, that's the final. I don't know if this is a miniseries and this is the last issue or if this is the end of an arc, but man, there's a lot of crying in this comic.
There's a lot of crying in this comic.
And I feel like this is a comic that where it's cool because it's Trad Moore, but it's very stylistic, even for him.
Oh my god, it's so good.
But it's really cool, and the art's really cool, and I feel like this is a trade. as much as the issues are cool.
Oh, I agree. I literally, there's nothing that that Alice Cott does that I would say is a single issue comic. Yeah. Anytime he writes something, it's like, I dare you to make sense of a single issue without context.
Yeah, yeah. But cool.
Yeah,
looks great. And and clear storytelling. I would think I would prefer to read it as a trade.
And again, I have to say, man, Tradmore, someday he's going to be remembered as something differently than even like of all the great artists that are going on right now, and there are a lot of them. I think he's going to be remembered differently. He is like somebody who is a phenomenal fine artist with his own style who would be known as a fine artist who's working in the medium of comics and just doing something different. And it is amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's like he's like a Kirby in that way where he's like super creative, super distinctive. He's not
like he doesn't
homaging anyone.
He doesn't look like Kirby. It's like he's a new Kirby from out of nowhere. Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
Do you feel like he hasn't found his book yet? Like there's a Tradmore book that hasn't come out yet that's gonna blow your socks off.
Yes, I do. Face. I feel like there's something out there that he needs to do because
he's already done so many. Like Luther Strode.
Luther Strode was great.
Although I like the first series a little more than the continuing adventure.
Luther Strode was amazing because he found like that was his gore book, like the gross stuff, and he was really good at doing like people exploding and unraveling and like really gross, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then Ghost Rider was awesome because. Yeah. His style is the most perfect kinetic style that I've ever seen anyone do, where you literally see movement in every panel and it makes sense that something is moving in a way that I've never seen an artist do in a comic.
And another thing to kind of, and that's totally cool point. The other cool point is there's no other artist that I can think of who has taken an iconic character and like kind of supplanted.
Yes.
I mean, Ghost Rider is like as iconic of a Marvel character as there is. And like his Ghost Rider is like the Ghost Rider now. And I don't think anyone cares that that's the case. Like, there's probably some people that are like, Johnny Blaze isn't around.
There's 100 or so people in the world that are upset about this.
But it's like, of all the things that people are upset with Marvel about, like, I don't think. That I certainly haven't come across anyone that's like, no, this new Ghost Rider, like the design is just so fucking
cool.
Iconic and cool. And yeah, we could sing Tradmore's praises forever. Yeah. This New World number 5 is out and is awesome. Alice Cott wrote it.
Yes. If you have all the money in the world and you're looking for something, if you want my my like football betting pick for where you should spend your money, buy his original artwork. That would be my suggestion. If he ever does get that book, his artwork will be worth a small fortune.
Yeah, he's cool. He's great.
Okay, so Punisher is out this week.
There's a new Punisher.
There's some punishing and some jigsawing and some murdering and some great
there's
stuff.
Some guns. There's some triggers. And
some shit blows up.
Some Black Widows in it.
Yep. It's very Punisher-y.
It's a new Punisher. Punisher's back. It's a Punisher book.
I don't know, man. I dig this take on the Punisher. I dug the last one.
Like I've said in the past, Punisher is not my favorite character, so it's not going to be a big wow for me. But if you are a fan of the Punisher, it is classic Punisher, which is what you want, I would assume, in a Punisher comic.
And speaking of things that you want in a comic, in your Sleepwalker comics, which I know you all want, this has got your Thing Thang Thoom in it.
Yeah, I will say that in a Sleepwalker comic, the thing I want the most is a mashup of Fin Fang Foom and
Man-Thing.
The Man-Thing.
Called Man-Thing Fang Thoom.
And you sure get it. You also get Galactus in a top hat, which I think is pretty cool. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Galactus in a pilgrim hat.
Yes. Galactus in a top hat.
My bad.
I know. I know it's really serious.
No, it's it was a fun comic, and there was a couple. There was like one character that you'll see in the Instagram that I thought was quite funny.
Spider-Geddon.
Spider-Geddon.
Some actual stuff happened in this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some hardcore deception.
There's some intrigue things happening.
I think this is the penultimate issue as well.
And I think this was the one that actually sold me on the whole series, to be honest. I think this was the one where I was like, oh, okay, they actually had a point to what they were doing.
Well, the funny thing is that the whole reason that I've been interested in Spider-Geddon in general is that there is an animated Spider-Man film soon to come out called Enter the Spider-Verse or Into the Spider-Verse, and Marvel has also put out a comic this week called Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse #1, and it has Spider-Punk and Spider-Ham and Spider-Gwen and other spiders in it, and I didn't read it because I really want to see Into the Spider-Verse, and I was afraid that it would be like that thing that happens with Marvel prequels where there's like, it doesn't make sense if you haven't seen the film, but reading it spoils aspects of the film. So I didn't read it, but it's out, and that's yes. The thing.
If you are someone who digs the Donny Cates,
this.
Carnage. There's a new Carnage.
Carnage, and I liked this comic. Donny Cates, like, he's doing a good job.
Web of Venom, Carnage Born.
It is a stupid title, but
it is.
It is a good comic,
but it is telling you what happened to Cletus Kasady.
Yeah.
After we assumed he was that the Sentry took him up into space and tore him in half, because the Sentry did take him up into space and tear him in half.
That happened.
And then apparently.
I didn't even know that happened, but I read it in this comic that happened.
Oh, yes.
This comic informed me everything I needed to know about Carnage, but also was just kind of a fun story.
That was a great moment. I think it was in Dark Reign. It was in one of them where they just, it was like, what are we going to do about Carnage? And Sentry was like, I'll fly him into space, tear him in half. Cool. Yeah.
He was really into tearing people in half. And that was kind of his deal. He tore Ares in half as well, right?
Yeah, and Ares tore Man-Thing in half.
What?
Yeah, or cleaved him in half with an axe.
He cleaved him in twain.
In twain. Shania Twain, to be exact.
Let's move into... Oh, I'm going to talk about a couple things.
Talk about another Carnage comic.
No, I'm going to talk about Crimson Lotus.
Oh, okay.
Crimson Lotus #1 from the pages of Hellboy. Because I love John Arcudi, and I'm going to talk about two books that he did this week. One is Crimson Lotus, which has amazing art. This is a totally, it may be part of the world of Hellboy. Rasputin is in it.
It's got Rasputin.
But it is its own story, and I dug it. It's like an Asian folklore, World War II, just kind of what's going on with this. 5-issue miniseries, as people who read Hellboy are used to the format. And I dug it. Crimson Lotus #1 from Arcudi, and the art by Mindy Lee.
I also really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I had not encountered Mindy Lee before, so good, real good art. And then also John Arcudi and David Rubin, another super stylistic, awesome artist. New issue of Rumble #9 was out, and it is just monster slaying the comic and just badass. I love Rumble, and it also has just really good character moments between the cast. If Rumble is something that you've thought about in the past, I do miss a regular dose of James Harren, who created the visual and the but Rubin has done filled in the shoes really well, and I still think Rumble is a great series and has gone to embrace the new art style and kind of tell a different type of story, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So that is that. There's also, I'll talk about Shuri.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah. I have something very specific to talk about.
Oh,
with that.
Okay. Interesting.
You go first.
I have something not terribly specific to talk about with this. Uncanny X-Men #2. God, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that there's an X book that I actually latch onto. Mm-hmm. Again, like I've said before, Red was great. And it was a really fun X book, but this is my, like, I know saying 90s X comics really brings up like extreme X-Men and all these really terrible things, but there was a stream of very good books in that era, and this is one of those. And it feels very much like that, and it's just, it's awesome, and it's what I want out of X-Men books.
I have to say, as a lifelong huge Iceman fan, mm-hmm. this is like Iceman as But like, so I don't want to get too specific. I want to say that the Jean Grey Iceman camaraderie that is written in this book is totally awesome. They're like just kind of dialogue. The writing is, it's nice to have that, that voice with the X-Men. I think you need that. And it's interesting that with three different writers, you have, a really kind of clear voice. And, the story itself is really interesting. There are just so many characters that it's actually a little...
That's what's so great about it. This is the thing that I miss about the X-Men.
Yes,
there's just
no
a shit ton of characters.
Yeah, there are so many. It's, I think that I look forward to a future time in a month or so when the X-Men is not coming out weekly. I think it's a little too much for me. But I love Jean Grey back as the leader, you know, not feeling the absence of Professor X at all.
I'm really feeling the ending of this issue.
There's a weird thing going on with Madrox and the overall. Oh yeah, the end was just kind of cool throws to continuity, but like taking it in a different direction. I think that this is, I mean, this is the thing that people who like the X-Men have wanted Marvel to do since they decided to kill the X-Men in their comics.
Since they decided to fuck it all up just so that they could get the...
Yeah.
They thought that the Inhumans would take the place of the X-Men,
oh,
which is...
Well, they didn't. They just knew that no matter what they did, it's just people would be forced to consume it
in
whatever realm that they consume comics.
They maybe thought that they were going to fool Fox into thinking that... They believed that they could make the Inhumans as big as the X-Men or something.
No,
who knows?
It was just a big middle finger to Fox, like the whole thing. It's whoever suit controls Marvel was giving the finger to the suit that controls Fox, and it's we paid the price. But no longer, because Fox lost, which doesn't make me sad because I hate Fox.
So Whispering Dark is out number two. Continues to not really be as Lovecraftian as they pretended it was.
No, but it is roots in that, and it is good. It's well written, it's well drawn, and I am interested in following it.
This cat is going to not stop until he finally unplugs us.
He doesn't want to unplug us. I think he wants to turn us down. He keeps turning us down.
Yeah, I think that's the end.
Turn down for what?
I don't know.
It's kind of interesting that he's just targeting the volume.
Yeah, he's like just stuck right in the middle of everything.
He's been trained.
anyway.
Should we take a quick pause?
Nah, screw it. If he unplugs us, then we'll pause.
All right. Well, then
if he unplugs us again.
We actually only have a couple more
spoiler
books.
Spoiler alert, he's unplugged us once.
Yes, it's true. And you'll notice because my segue was
he
not
does not
that
want
great.
Michelle to move him.
No.
But I was turning everything off.
But I was having fun turning the volume down. Anyway, Shuri number two is out. I think the art is awesome on this. I think the story is really interesting and
super not
like
the direction
it. Although,
at all. Thought that anything was going with that.
Takes a real sharp turn at the end, and I was like, huh, that's where you're going? Okay, that's cool. But I do love the artistic interpretation of the characters that show up at the end of Shuri. Let's talk about... can I talk about this one?
Yeah.
Okay. So number one, we probably should have talked about this at closer to the beginning. American Carnage, number one, from Brian Hill and Leandro Fernandez from Vertigo. It's a new Vertigo series. It is an FBI agent investigating a white supremacist cult with ties in that extend possibly into the inner workings of the American government. Timely, well written, interesting, on board. Liked it.
Awesome.
The art was really good from Fernandez, who I recognize from the Hellboy books that he's done in the past. But it is a street level comic about the FBI. So definitely some language in there that I was surprised to see in a comic. It reminds me that Vertigo is definitely mature readers. So, you know, no immature readers for this one. But American Carnage number one was a good start. And I like Brian Hill. And he is doing a new Batman and the Outsiders that's coming out soon.
Okay.
I think
and
that's the same guy.
Here's another book that surprises me.
Oh, yeah.
Mars Attacks.
So good.
So good. It's really, really fun. This is just a fun book Very cartoony. And the most important thing that I've ever seen in a comic is that their death rays, the onomatopoeia for pushing the button, is blew up. B-L-E-U-W-P.
There's actually some really good onomatopoeia throughout the book that aren't just like, if you're going to imagine things that a ray gun might sound like, there's some really good interpretations in this book. I think Mars Attacks is awesome. Kyle Starks is the writer. The artist is
Chris Schweizer.
Man, I just this book is a billion times better than I think it has a right to be. But thank God, because this is what I want. I want fun farmers getting disintegrated. I want
cows on fire.
Cows on fire, dogs as heroes. Like, there's a million reasons to like this book, and not the least of which is the art is amazing. The story is fun. I wish this was a film.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's a comic that I can enjoy.
But what it reminds me of is the old Bizarro comic. Like, do you remember when DC did those two Bizarro books? There were just a bunch of comedians and, like, alt artists.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doing the really fun comics, things.
Yep. I have those on my shelf.
It's basically like that. It reminds me of something that would have come out of that.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that, definitely. Except for it's like a full comic.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely cool. We have two books left. One is Justice League Dark number 5, which is the first issue post, what was the name of that?
Crossover? Witching Hour.
Witching Hour. It's really establishing the team dynamic of the Justice League Dark, which is actually really great. So it's Wonder Woman leading a team of magic characters, including Swamp Thing and Man-Bat. I think the take on Man-Bat is magical. I guess it's James Tynion the IV that thought of it. But man, it is good. And
three times better than the regular Justice League book.
Oh, yeah. I would a million times over, rather. And like, there's a million reasons why that, other the regular main Justice League, should be like the best comic on the stands, but it's like this is just kicking its ass into the dirt. All right.
Yeah.
I love it. Great. Justice League Dark number 5 is out. And last but not least, so you mentioned Bizarro, and I thought we were going to have a perfect segue because I thought you were talking about the Bizarro miniseries.
Oh, sorry.
That was drawn by Gustavo Duarte. but unfortunately, it's okay that you weren't, because you're talking about something else cool. Gustavo Duarte is the artist on the Christmas themed issue of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 37, which is amazing.
Yes.
This guy is like, can he please draw every comic that has superheroes in it? There's like one panel of like just all these superheroes like at a Christmas party, and it's fucking amazing. I love the Moon Girl comic. It's just really fun and great, and like for all ages in the best possible way that all ages things can be for all ages, in that all ages can actually enjoy them.
Awesome. It's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Real good stuff.
And that's what we got. We got a bunch of trades out this week. Mm. Oh my God, I can't even think of them. Don't worry about it. They're there.
We should be better. We'll do that with the Instagram starting next week.
Yeah,
we'll focus on some of the trades and things that are out that we don't bring and talk about on the cast.
That's what we'll do.
On the pod.
Yes. So that's about it. So remember, I'm actually Comics on Instagram, at Coast City Comics on Instagram.
Hit us up. What about code Blarg, that thing?
Yes, and BLARGH !! for free shipping on the website. We should have all that stuff up by tonight. We have, you know, tons, I think 100 and something different listings for new books that are up that you can order right off our website.
Yeah, everything that is available in the store is available on the website.
And so, and yes, and to that end, if you notice that there's something that's sold out, you can give us a call, send us an email, whatever, and we can try and fix that for you, because we probably have it in stock. We probably just did not list it. We try to keep our stock separate so we don't accidentally sell out of something in either the web or in the store.
Nice.
So just ask.
That's called smart business.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
If I had one wish, I'd wish it's all